This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us. This is BFM 89.9. In the meantime, Budget 2022.
Yes, because according to Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, Budget 2022 will focus on helping the people, especially in tackling the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. This will be Muhyiddin's second budget as Prime Minister, and a lot of attention will be given to how the government tackles the issue of economic recovery and growth.
Now, previously, it was reported that the government expects to achieve its 2021 GDP growth target of between 6 to 7.5%, but this is dependent on the COVID-19 health crisis being stabilized and the eventual lifting of MCO 3.0. But just how likely will this be and what kind of initiatives can we expect?
Well, to answer that question and more, we've got on the line with us Professor Mahendra Nair, Pro Vice Chancellor of Research Engagement and Impact at Sunway University and a Fellow of Academy of Sciences Malaysia on the line with us. Prof, good morning. Now, the Prime Minister said that the budget will focus on helping the people, especially in terms of the pandemic. Ideally, what are the key areas of focus you'd like to see?
Yes, I think the key focus areas here are getting back the businesses on a much more stronger footing. I think many of them are struggling and, you know, jobs are a major challenge. So the first thing is to support them to adapt to better technologies to ride through this pandemic, particularly and future pandemics, and expand their market reach, improve their service quality and their competitiveness. The second thing is that those who have lost their jobs, a better reskilling. I think the economy is also transitioning very, very quickly. I think the last 12 to 18 months, the pandemic has actually initiated several structural changes in the economy. People who have lost jobs may not see the jobs again, so that will require them to reskill. The other important thing also is matching them to private sector and also government agencies in terms of jobs. Third aspect is actually some of the support for Prihatin. I think that needs to still continue to support them so that we ensure that their quality of life and the disposable income is still there to support them. The fourth aspect is actually continue to invest in infrastructure programs and projects that will actually put the country in a much more stronger economic footing. So some of the major infrastructure projects should still continue with the condition that I think the employment and the jobs are given to local firms and also to local employment. And the final one is essentially providing some of the corporate tax breaks, particularly for SMEs in 2022. So that, you know, they have the additional liquidity to invest into their businesses.
And what about economic recovery? What type of initiatives can the government introduce to improve Malaysia's economic recovery?
I think one of the things that we still need to continue to do is to ensure that we create jobs, and this is to continue the fiscal stimulus plans. Although it is an expense on the government, but this is actually investing into the long-term growth of the economy. Particularly, I think, you know, ensuring that our infrastructure, our technological infrastructure is in a much more solid position. And as a matter of fact, as we invest into those, you know, technology and the infrastructure, we start seeing not only creating employment, but also strengthening our economy and creating new jobs, high value added jobs. The other one is also, I think, specifically the technology support for SMEs, the digital technology support, providing grants, double tax deduction, capability development, and mentorship and building the entire local supplier network. One of the things that we learned from this crisis is that I think countries are going to start looking at building their own supply networks so that to mitigate any risks. And of course, the last aspect is actually to continue to intensify our vaccine rollout. We need to push that front really. The last 2 years, you know, we realized that I think the medical ecosystem and the economic ecosystem is tied together very, very strongly. And I think in the next 6 months to 8 months is really crucial for us to invest into vaccine, ensure that the vaccine rollout is moving at a faster pace so that we get that herd immunity. Without that, we're going to still see a lot of economic uncertainties and new waves of infections that may jeopardize some of the investments that we are putting into the economy.
Now, Prof, the call for tax reform has been stronger, and in particular, the reintroduction of GST, but I think at a lower rate. Do you think this is a viable initiative for the government in Budget 2022?
I think given the current economic climate and the fiscal position and the commitment of the government to the various programs, I think government's options are getting limited. And yes, GST is one of the options, but there is a concern of a political fallout. And I think history has shown that most governments that have brought in GSTs or some form of goods and service taxes will vote it out. I mean, this is the practical aspects, you know. So we saw that in Malaysia too. So I think the government is going to be very careful in how we implement this. If GST was to be introduced, I think the rate needs to be looked at very carefully. And I think there is a number that is being thrown out, which is approximately about 3%. And I think one of the key things is the exclusion list needs to be looked at very, very carefully, particularly to address the concerns of B40.
And Prof, will funding Budget 2022 be a real challenge for the government?
Well, one of the key issues is that I think if they followed the budget expenditure and being very, very selective in terms of what they invest in, I think it's doable. The good thing is that we are starting to see there is semblance of recovery coming in. Our growth rates are starting to move up. We may have a little bit more degrees of freedom. One of the things that we are seeing is that the global demand conditions are starting to improve as more advanced countries are starting to roll out the vaccine and herd immunity across. And I think that is good because Malaysia is an open economy that is highly dependent on advanced markets. Signals are positive, but I think we're still not out of the woods yet. We've got to be very, very selective in what we invest. We've got to invest into things that will create jobs. And I think if we did that, and with the growth of about 6 to 7% growth rates, the global economy improving, I think we'll have a little bit more degrees of freedom and manage the economy, still ensuring that our deficit remains 6%.
The government has also said that it is looking at revamping the existing social security net. How would you like to see this done?
I think now that, you know, after 2 years, there needs to be greater scrutiny in terms of how we channel the funds, who gets it. But I think one of the important social safety nets is that while supporting people during the difficult periods, trying to get many of them back to work. So which means that one of the key things is providing them appropriate training, providing them job placement so that they are able to eventually, you know, wean off some of the social safety nets and be able to stand on their own. The other aspect is also intensifying, you know, microfinance and other financial support schemes for entrepreneurs. Many of them may not take on jobs, but they may create jobs. So again, supporting, putting in provisions within the financial system to support entrepreneurship through microfinance schemes and so on.
Moving forward, what's your outlook for the Malaysian economy for the rest of this year, though, Professor?
The outlook of the Malaysian economy is dependent on three important conditions. The first one is actually the global demand conditions, how the global markets address the pandemic and achieve herd immunity. The second aspect is actually the vaccine rollout in Malaysia. And if we can address that, I think that will give confidence to people and to consumers and to firms in terms of concerns of future waves of infection. I think that will stabilize the economy better. And the third aspect is also really important, which is actually political uncertainty. I think this will have an impact on FDI flows and confidence in the Malaysian economy. I think this needs to be resolved soon. On this front, so that the markets are calm and you know, investors' concerns are addressed.
Prof, thank you so much. That was Professor Mahendra Nair, Pro Vice Chancellor of Research Engagement and Impact at Sanwi University and a Fellow of the Academy of Sciences Malaysia. Now, just in terms of what the good professor was talking about, and of course, looking forward to the budget, you know, being cognizant of the fact that the current government, transient or the way they came in, not things considered, right, with the various numbers of stimulus packages that they've announced through the months. They've had some practice in terms of planning and formulating budgets, albeit on a smaller scale.
Well, this is their second budget, technically.
Correct, it is. Yeah, it is. It's not even technically, it is, right?
It is.
That all being said, it's going to be one of the toughest to formulate, just because in terms of the lack of headroom is gone.
Yeah, the fiscal headroom, right?
Yes.
And I think you don't have a clarity where the economy will be heading to directionally as well. So, whether to put more gas into the vehicle or to basically
whether you got gas in
down,
the first place to put in the vehicle,
which then is the debt issue and all that. It's a big question mark. The volatility here and uncertainty, I think, is the biggest challenge.
And that is driven by how soon can you get a grip on this virus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because so much is riding on the fact that you're going to be able to get the infection rate down. You're going to achieve herd immunity. How fast can you roll out all these vaccination programs? There are so many moving parts and so many assumptions that you have to make in order to come up with the budget. But I think, you know, which means that at the end of the day, it's really, I think it's not going to be a simple task whatsoever.
Not at all. And do you blow the fiscal deficits out of the water, right, and turbocharge the economy? Because if you know, on the back of that recovery, you just want to just boost the whole economy back.
But there already is a government change in terms of the deficit target. They've already adjusted it to 6% from 5.4%. So they know that they're going to have to spend more money. And of course, this is also due to the fact that there's less GDP, right? Because what is the base effect? Our base effect is actually smaller and smaller as our economy shrinks due to COVID-19.
Yeah, we'll be actually carrying that discussion through. But in terms of the travel industry with Dr. Mario Hardy of the Pacific Asia Travel Association, that's happening after the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.